what is reality seems like a really, really big statement, but she just got done saying she can't explain it. Well, why is that? Because no, because you can't control it. Yes. It cannot be controlled. Okay? It, and Ann and I have been talking about this, and the key to understanding what is reality is that there's nothing to find.
Takes the pressure off.
There's absolutely nothing to find. You can't be what you already are. You can't become what you already are. But in our mind, what? We keep trying. We keep thinking something more needs to come. Something more should come. Something more can come. You can't ever have more than everything. So everybody, if you want to, because I don't, this isn't about control. This isn't about telling people what to do. Clap your hands. This is it. This is it. This is it. This is it. Right here. It's everything. Right now. It doesn't go anywhere. It never goes anywhere. Okay? That's what you've got to understand. You can't control everything. There's nothing to find. There's nothing to do. There's no one. There's no human being anywhere that will ever believe there's nothing to find and nothing to do. You yourself can't believe that because it's not a belief. Robert talked about it this morning. There's millions and millions of beliefs, and you know what all of them mean? Squat. Absolute squat. When you're in a place where you can't explain it and you don't understand why, guess where you're at? Reality. You're in reality. And it never goes anywhere. That's the whole thing. I want to talk about Nemo in the end because I hope if you understand Nemo and the story of Nemo, you'll never forget that you're never, you can't escape everything. Does everybody just, even mentally, psychosomatically, we can agree that you can't escape everything and everything is all there is. And it's life happening right now, uncontrolled. It's uninhibited. This is why I've been so relentless about saying there's no God. The word God itself means to control. It means to manipulate. That's what it means. And I've just... sorry about interrupting your seance here. I come in and the floor's rumbling because the garage door's opening and my motor's roaring and I'm slamming the doors and I walk up, oh shit. Whoops. It sounds quiet in here. Or it did. So forgive me.
No.
Oh good. Well great. Thank you. I will take that. Because I'm going, whoops. Guess I just ended your seance. Okay.
You were who we were bringing into the spirit of the
conscience. So, listen, what I want to tell you this afternoon is that we're touching on the full realization of what is reality. This is the end of the game that I'm explaining to you. Okay? I'm telling you. It's the end game.
I like that.
It really is the end game. It really is, and no one's ever thought they would have approached it. And I'm going to share with you some of the testimonies of some of the people listening, telling me how thankful they are that they're seeing the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. End of what? The human dream.
Game over.
The human dream, okay? And here's the issue. The end of the human dream, I'm telling you right now, is painful. We want to make it sound all fluffy and stuffy and all this stuff, But it really is painful. Why is it painful? Does anybody know why it's painful? Well, this is why, because it's the end of the dream of you. It's the end of the dream that you're somebody separate from everything. Okay? It just is impossible. It's absolutely impossible to be separate from everything. And life is everything all the time. This is it. This is paradise. The illusion that we've had of all of our commentary on what we think is right or wrong with the world or right or wrong with us, okay, is where the problem is at. This is the beginning of separation. And this is what I want to talk about this afternoon. It's going to seem a little bit contortionist to you, a little bit. But listen, if I really love you, truth is what's going to set you free.
Right.
Not being me being nice and fluffy. Okay, we've had enough fluffy.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to make you so you're not stuffy. Okay? I'm going to release you from yourself because that's what you need to be released from. We're not separate from the whole. This is wholeness. This is completeness. But in our mind, we wandered away from the garden of paradise, which is everything. See, we've wandered away in our mind, only in our mind. It's just a dream. Don't take it personal. It's just a dream. It's a human being in a dream. Everybody in their right mind should want to be free from that dream. Everyone should want to be. But when we get, this is almost why I love the verse, you know, man's born to trouble, the sparks fly upward. I've learned years ago to run towards the sparks because there's truth hidden behind every ember.
Absolutely.
That's where the prodigal son learned about reality in a pile of shit. Everybody thinks, well, he shouldn't have went there, you know, if he would have just obeyed, you know, and he would have never had to go there. Well, that's where he found himself.
Yeah.
Huh? And yet, in our minds, we've tried to avoid the problems because we think they're wrong. We take them personal. When all of life is surrounding you and screaming at you, I'm the perfect lover. I never judge you. Everything that is you. It's me. We're not separate from it.
Yeah.
And I want to talk to you about the fact that you're not love. Love is you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't control it. Love is you.
Mm-hmm.
Love is manifest as you. You can't stand there, I'm love. Mm-hmm. Well, you're under bondage if you're love,
mm-hmm.
because then you got to go to Corinthians 13 and try to live up to it. You do. You got to look at the list and say, well, if I'm love, I got to do this and this and this and this. Love is always speaking all the time, and it's never right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I love what Robert said once on Facebook. That's when Sarah and Robert and me were starting to scrap, and boy, I only got in there one time. I got out of there. I only did it once. I said, I'm not going to win. The fur was flying, and I felt my hair on my ass getting shaved off. I said, I got to get out of here. And Robert said something very profound. I used to think everyone was wrong. And now I know no one's wrong. And I want to go farther than that. No one's right or wrong. It's not that someone's right either. See, we got to take both. There's just no judgment anymore. Yeah. Of course no one's wrong, but they're not right either. We rise above what? The appearances, and this is where we find pure righteousness. And that's why Jesus said, don't judge by the damn appearances. Judge righteous judgment. Everything is holy now. Everything. Right now. And it never, ever leaves you. Ever. But what happened is we forget to remember. We just forget to remember. That's okay. That's all right. But I'm telling you, it's hell. That's hell. It's forgetting to remember that everything is holy now. Everything. I mean, a lot of times, Robert, it looks rough, doesn't it? Huh? There's a bunch of donkeys march up the driveway and shit all over your grass. You go, holy shit. That's what you should say. Huh? Everything's holy.
Holy donkey.
We get out there, who knows, you might come up with compressed donkey shit and start selling it, you know? You just never know. Huh?
Holy ass.
I'm serious. It's when I've been through the most troubling things, you wouldn't believe how much stuff has been created.
Yeah.
I'm serious. And I'm one that has created sparks. You can ask my mama. I was just all over the place, all the time, in everything, since I was a little boy. I was never to be found. Ever. My dad said, you know, you got beat every day and it didn't do any good. It didn't change anything. Except my ass swelled up a little bit, you know. That's about it. So I'm so grateful for Gary and Carol. The one thing I've learned from Gary that's so wonderful is just unconditional inclusion.
Yes.
Yeah. Unconditional. People ran on him, and he's had a huge ministry, and his truth has come. He's never been afraid to embrace it. Yeah. And it's caused a lot of what appears to be separation. But how could this be ever compared? Huh? Mm-hmm. How could love and life ever be compared to having a bigger group and more money? Huh? There's so many people out there that have all that, and they sit in the bathtub and blow their brains out. Yeah. It's not the answer, folks. Mm-hmm. It just isn't the answer. So, love, honesty, truth pushes on the you because it wants to push it out. Yeah. Okay? It's got to push it out. This story is about the end of the separated person. Amen. Okay? It's about the end of it and the cause of it. And so Nancy Brooke wrote, I've spent the last 20 years in a sense of constant disappointment with myself. Wow. Well, guess what? If the self's gone, there's nobody to be disappointed in anymore, is there? Huh?
Come on.
Answer there. Boom, there's the answer to one, right?
Wow.
I've just solved half her problems right there. She's got another one. There was two. I wasn't meditating enough, she said. Well, we buried meditation. You meditate your brains out with a big, huge bowl of rice in a cave, and you come out the same way you went in. There's just a longer sense of quietness. That's all. It's okay if that's what you like to do. That's okay. Quietness is, I like quietness. Then the second one, she says, this one's embarrassing. Every morning I'm facing another ordinary day, Eeyore. I hadn't somehow, while I was asleep, been transformed into an avatar, enlightened being. It's totally true. I've been chasing the golden carrot for most of my life, and there was no way I wanted to even imagine a life without the possibility of me being able to catch it. Somehow, love has strengthened me enough to finally want to see beyond the veil of the human dream.
Wow.
You rock, Mike.
That's
well,
awesome.
I like that last part, you know.
Read her last line again.
She said, somehow love has strengthened me enough to finally want to see beyond the veil of the human dream.
Wow.
Because that's what we're talking about.
Wow.
The human dream is you thinking you're living. Because as soon as you think you have a life, you want to be in control. There's no way out of it. You're standing in front of the tree of good and evil, because what's right for me or wrong for me is always the question. Okay? There's no way around it. That's always what appears. Okay? Always. And so I want to push on this human dream she's talking about, because that's really the truth that sets us free. It's the story of Nemo in the ocean. It's the story of every man. It's the story of every human being in a dream. Everyone. It's the story of everyone. The dream of separation. Well, guess what? Even the Bible has some very clear stories about this. Isn't that amazing? Wonderful stories. Everyone wants to know why. Curious minds want to know, don't they? Why? How did separation begin? Well, in the beginning, in the beginning of time, and what? The foundation of the world. This is Genesis 1. In the beginning of time and the foundation of world, love began to go into a contraction of self-will. Love became contracted. Love never went anywhere. But in the dream of the human being, love becomes contracted. It contracts into what? Itself. Life's all about me. Life's all about what I'm going to do. Life's all about what I can do. This is the contraction of love. Love never goes anywhere, but we become contracted into ourselves. And we're all that matters. Even Wesley Jo, as beautiful and wonderful as she is, I'm sure if she doesn't get her own way, all hell breaks loose. I'm sure. I'm sure.
A little girl.
But I'm sure. This is the beginning of the contraction, though. And here she's got a beautiful, loving father that's going to be able to share with her about this lie. That life isn't about you, Wesley Jo.
I'm just going to give her everything she wants.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's swimming in it, isn't it? So there's this contraction that takes place. When Adam and Eve appeared to be kicked out of the garden, there was a contraction of self. There was a contraction of self-will and self-determination. And he found himself what? Naked and alone. Yeah. Naked and alone. Yeah. It's the arrogance of self-will. And guess what? When you're standing out alone and proclaiming what you've done, it's really lonely there. It's very lonely. There's no inclusion, because what? Life's all about me. And we've got a wonderful story about this called Nebuchadnezzar. Beautiful story that talks about this arrogant contraction of how self-will enters the scene and the dream world of hell and destruction then appear. It's all a dream, remember? It's all a dream. But this is what happened. This is what happened in the garden. This arrogant contraction of self, the arrogant contraction of I can make life happen. Huh? Huh? Well, you're surrounded by everything and it's life. Why are you? You don't have to do nothing. You're completely swimming in it. But I can make life happen. I can do this or that. And this is where the problem began. And so in Daniel chapter 4, we have recorded the personal testimony of the king of what? Babylon. This is one of the few chapters, if not the only chapter in the entire Bible that was written by a Gentile, a heathen. In it, King Nebuchadnezzar shares the story of his pride, his humbling, his repentance and salvation. Beautiful story. And I want to tell you what it is. What did Nebuchadnezzar do? We all know it. He stood out on the balcony and declared, "Look and see what my hands have made. Look what I've chosen. Look what I've done with myself." This is the beginning of the separated, contracted consciousness of man. Becoming aware of what? The self, independent, swimming in love, but contracted into just the idea of himself. And just declaring, "Look what my hands have done." People talking about being creators. There's nothing to create. There's nothing more that needs to be done. There's nothing that can be done. Nothing ever needs to change. We're constantly swimming in spontaneous life and love. I mean, it's enough to choke a million horses, and we can't see it. Because what? We're self-consumed. This is really the heart of the problem. How can you be... Let's follow Robert's layout this morning of reality. The first one was rest. How could you ever rest if you think you're the one that's responsible? There's never any rest there. You really, really think that you're the one that decides what life is? How arrogant. How arrogant to ever even consider that. And it's really the heart of what really should be called sin, is just seeing yourself separate from everything. Yeah. It's an impossibility anyway. That's why it's a dream. But I want to help you come out of the dream to understand what spontaneous, eternal life is. Resting in the fact that life is always coming at you full on, all the time and everything. Nothing is ever out of order, ever. How could omnipresent unconditional love ever be controlled, ever be out of order? It's impossible, even just in that statement logically. Exactly. You have to just say it's impossible. Yet we stand out on our porch and declare to the world that I have done this, I have made this choice. I've got a free will. I can control the outcome. It's all bullshit. It's the biggest pile there ever was. It just is not true. And it's the very heart of separation. So, yes, there's a self-will in the dream of me. In the dream of me. In the dream of separation, you think you're in control. But in reality, you're just trying your best to play the role of God. And this is where God was born. Man created God in his own image. God didn't create man. Man created a God in his own image to try to help him control the world. Wow.
That was good.
You want to talk about a burden? I'm going to talk about a weight. And I'm going to share with you some ancient texts where people discovered this. It's beautiful. Life is but a dream when you're in the dream of self-centeredness. And this is where the suffering comes from, because it is hell. It is hell. Crying in the wilderness. Somebody was talking about how somebody cries real easily and is sensitive and all this stuff. Well, listen, get over yourself. My gosh. You know, Diane and I have felt bad enough at some times, you know, where we've said, geez, I want to find a pistol and take myself out. Well, what's that? Huh? Well, yeah, but what is that but be the most self-centered act you could ever commit? Yeah. It's just self, and I told her that. I said, get over yourself. Yeah. You know, I'm not saying we're free from this stuff, but I know the difference. You know, and it's sort of hard to say to a sweet, loving, fluffy thing, get over yourself. But I mean, when you feel like shit and everything's throbbing, you know, you got, God, get me out of here, you know, Calgon, take me away. Well, it's the same thing as getting a gun. You know, there's no difference. People that commit suicide think they're escaping. They're just ending the dream. Life doesn't change, folks, if you're not in it. Hello? Nothing changes if you're not in it. You better get hold of that. Nothing needs to change. It isn't about you, your independent little self with your tiny little pea brain, thinking, I make a choice, and I decide this, and I do that, and let's go on and on and on. Let's write a biography about you. You want to know something? Nobody really cares. You sit in a group and start telling your story, and everybody else can't wait till you're done so they can tell theirs. I'm serious, a heart attack. It's true, though. It's true. The story of me. The story of me. Well, guess what? I'm going to give you fluff because I'm going to set you free from yourself. And you're going to be, that's all you're going to be is fluff.
I'm going to tell my story.
The old story.
You're right.
Listen, it doesn't, listen to me. This isn't about trying to control you. You're going to get up and you're still going to go on and do whatever. It's fine. You're going to do what you do. It's part of the story. I'm just telling you it's a dream. That's all. I'm just telling you it's a dream. And some people love the dream. Some people love the dream. I feel sorry for them. I'm telling you what, the truth that I've understood, the truth that I know, has set me free from my own ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I need to be set free from. Not you, not something else. It set me free from myself. Huh? That's what you need delivered from. Because if all you can see is yourself, you can't even enjoy for a second everything. You can't enjoy anything. Because you're what? Consumed. Absolutely consumed. With the least little gnat on the ass of the camel. Consumes you. And here's life and love just surrounding you, screaming, exploding. Oh, that this sore on my ass, and it just won't go away, and wham, you know? Now listen, I've done it. I still do it now, but I don't do it very long anymore. Because I just don't like pulling on that boot. You know, I've got to get rid of that. I'm cutting that cord off, you know? Because that's all we're doing. We're kicking at the pricks. Here we are surrounded in it. It doesn't matter. And this is the big thing people can understand. It doesn't matter if you hear about the big C word. Somebody comes and tells you you've got cancer. It doesn't matter what it is. Okay? Love is never not surrounding you. Love is never not surrounding you. We've all used to believe that you got to go around and get rid of stuff. It's always love surrounding you, no matter what it looks like. There's nothing to get rid of. And it's so refreshing and relieving. It doesn't matter how you deal with it. Go to 1,000 doctors. Get out 1,000 herbs. If you go to Benny Hinn, I don't care what you do. I really don't. You just don't know. There's no control there. I can't control your path or your story. You just need to know that when all you're focused on is you, you're in a dream. It's a total dream world. There is no separated individual with free will and free choice. That is the lie. That is the one lie that traps you in you. And it holds you down. We're surrounded by so much love. We're surrounded by so much life. So much. How could you ever think leaving everything for this little teeny weeny thing is the right way? It's not the right way. Never has been. It's never been the right way. So the dream of separation. The dream of separation. I want to read you some ancient texts that's from the 13th century. And actually very, very rare text that when it was found, it became so popular that there are now 25 translations of this text. And it totally transformed Martin Luther's life. Once he found this text, it was the birth of his famous piece, The Bondage of the Will. And what was he saying through that whole discourse? I struggled with this, folks, with this whole thing about free will. I struggled with it for 3 years. I went into the woods with the old original text of The Bondage of the Will from German into English. It wasn't softened. They just went from German to English. And I'm telling you, it was a hard read. I spent 3 years in the woods reading that thing, and I came out of there and said, I will never believe again that I control anything. And I'm telling you, it set me free. Because then I started embracing everything as being for me. I quit fighting it. I quit trying to control it. And the birth of that writing, and by the way, when Martin Luther wrote it, he told his followers, he said, take everything I've written and drag it out into the street and burn it. And they didn't do it. And so the birth of the Lutheran Church came out of all of his stuff he said should have been burned. It still arose out of the ashes of all of his writings. And it drove him nuts. They didn't listen to him. And you might not listen to me today. You might be listening to this and say he's totally crazy. And that's okay. This isn't about controlling anyone. I know that I can't control anything. That's the whole point of what I'm sharing. No one can control anything. Full stop. What a relief. What a relief. What a relief to know that.
Much easier.
Much easier. Whatever comes, is just, and you can just enjoy things spontaneously now. And just relax. Whatever comes is perfect. It doesn't matter whether it appears right or wrong for your little tiny brain. Okay, now I'm going to read what it said, because it talks about the story of Lucifer, which guess who that's the story of? Yeah. You trapped in your mind. Lucifer is just you trapped in your mind. And when it said that Lucifer fell from heaven and turned away from reality, it meaneth nothing else than that he would have his own will and would not be at one with the eternal will. There it is. Hey, guess what? Mike Nevins, and I can't stand him right now, didn't come up with this. I didn't pull this out of my ass just to scare you, okay? 13th century, this came from. It meaneth nothing else than what he would have his own will and would not be what? At one with everything. Who wouldn't want to be at one with everything? Who in their right mind would not want to be at one with everything? Huh? Hello? At one with everything. Wow. Wow. We've got Legion on the Hill. That's another story of the same thing. What was the thousand legions he was talking about? It was just all the stories of him that tormented him all these years. And what did it say when it was all done? He was found in his right mind. Huh?
That's right. Yeah.
He got over himself. That's what happened. Exactly. So was it likewise with Adam in paradise, it says. Likewise, the same story. And when we say self-will, we mean to will otherwise other than the one eternal will. To think somehow you can control everything. Right from the horse's mouth. Be assured. Okay. Okay, excuse me. I've got to go back just a little bit.
I was trying to
That's right. Be assured, he who helpeth the man to his own will helpeth him to the worst that he can. For the more a man followeth after his own self-will, and self-will groweth in him, the farther off he is from reality.
I've helped a lot of people the wrong way.
Then it continues. The most widespread commodity in hell is self-will. For there, if there were no self-will, there would be no devil and no hell. Whew. That's a load, isn't it? If there were no self-will, there'd be no devil or hell. What does that tell you? All that comes from? Huh? All of it.
Mark Luther said.
Well, this was in this little book they found in the cave that he found from this little group that was hiding in the 13th century. And he translated it. He translated it, right. But it's what changed him. He talks about, this is in his biography, said this little book he found changed him forever. And this is what he found in this little book. The most widespread commodity in hell is self-will. Theologia Germanica is the name of this little tiny book they found. For nothing burneth in hell but self-will. Therefore it hath been said, put off thy own will and there will be no hell. I'm telling you, folks, this is the key that opens every door. Because when you turn from yourself and realize the truth of what we've been sharing to you about reality, that you're swimming in love, you're swimming in life. Don't just want to suppress, don't want to just put down. What's waiting for you when there's no hell is everything. Hell's just a dream. The separated consciousness that thinketh has free will and free choice is where the problem starts. That's where all the problems come from. And you create the devil, which is your mind judging the world about right or wrong. You create it, and it's hell. I'm telling you, it's hell. It is hell. Now, is that good news? It doesn't feel like it, does it? Because the independent self hates this message. Hates it, despises it. Can't stand it. What do you mean? I can't do this or that. I'm telling you, you've never done shit. I'm telling you, you've never done anything that's been outside of love. Ever. I don't care how bad it is or how good it is. That sets you free. There are no mistakes. There never have been and there never will be. And if you pull away from your judgment of the appearances, that can begin to be felt. And it sets you free from condemnation. Huh? It sets you free from thinking I've screwed up. When this really hit me now, this isn't the first woman I've been married to. Do you want to hear my story? No, you don't. Okay. That's what I mean, okay? But listen, if I were to just give you an outline of my story, you'd say, holy shit, why am I listening to this guy? Huh? This isn't my first wife, and I'm on my seventh business. So don't follow me around. That's the moral of the story. You don't want to go my road. Huh? And I'm telling you what, I finally said, something isn't working here, Mike. Huh? I finally said. But what was happening? Trouble, right here in River City. It wears you out. I remember riding off on my motorcycle one night, and I just said, I don't care what happens to me. I'd lost everything. I was going bankrupt. My wife had left me and run off with my boss. So I lost my job, I lost my wife, and my family wouldn't talk to me because they were all Baptists. You want to talk about feeling alone? It sure does. And I should have had a dog howl, and that's the only thing that was missing, and a pickup truck with a flat tire. Huh? Now listen, this was 5 episodes ago. Yeah. And I rode off on my motorcycle and I just said, I don't care what it is, I want to know truth. I got nothing to lose. Strike me dead. If that's what it takes. And I'm telling you what, ever since that moment, I've been like a damn hound dog, seeking the reality of what I'm sharing with you tonight. Seeking that reality. No, I didn't care what it cost me. I had nothing to lose. We've talked about man's born to trouble, the sparks fly upward. Well, as long as you're consumed with yourself, you're in trouble. I'm just telling you right now, that's where it comes from. The illusion of self-will. John Wilcox wrote, "What is reality?" This is a great topic. I think a lot of us know John. He's on Facebook. So interesting that so many are working to convince other minds to think like their mind. Truly no clue. And as mentioned in previous sessions that you've had, this is all past what mind can grasp, what it can judge into desirable or repulsive. It's beyond that, yet so wrapped up as to leave men in a state of oscillating between mentation and reality. Right here's the crux of the story. Living by the mind, the separate individual, living by the mind versus being swallowed and surrounded by life all the time. All the time. This is paradise. Paradise isn't lost. Paradise didn't go anywhere. And Dana wrote, she says, "Love it, love it, love it. Isn't it funny? Just like everyone had a different view of God, everyone has a different view of reality. Amen. The only thing that can ever be real is truth. Truth never changes." And Jesus said, "Truth is what sets you free." Well, we think there's a lot of truths, okay? But there's really only one truth, and that is you are not separate from everything. Isn't that, that should be good news to everyone. You can never be separate from anything. You can't become what you already are. You already are perfect. Even with what all of your track record of what you think's right or wrong, you have no history. It's all swallowed up in love. There's never been any mistakes, ever. Or you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be who you are. If you, everything could have ever been changed from what it was. And this, if you bring that into the present moment and start to embrace that, as it happens, you're in paradise. That's what it means to be in paradise, is to rest in that love that you're being surrounded by it. True life can never change. We are looking for truth to change our reality or reality. We've totally missed the boat on what real reality is. True reality can never change. Well, hello. What can never change? That you're surrounded and swimming in love all the time? Omnipresent, unconditional love. You're just swimming in it. All the time. There isn't any better good news than that. And there's nothing you can do about it. That's the key. There's nothing you need to do about it. There's nowhere to go. Yeah, there's just nowhere to go but just embrace what is. And all of us have said those things, but there's just been a little bit of fly in the ointment because we haven't wanted to let the you die. But there's so many passages in Scripture. Jesus says, until you lose your life, you won't find life.
Yeah.
Well, you can't lose it and go back out and pick it up again. And you don't even do that, to be honest with you. You can't do it because there's no you that can do it. It just is. It's already a reality right now. There's nothing you can do to change reality. It's a good thing that that's what it is. That should be, everybody should be rolling in the aisles, realizing there's nothing you can do to control unconditional, omnipresent love. Nothing. It's all there is. So there's nothing to find. I hope if all you do, maybe Robert will do something about Nemo because he's such a brilliant smart ass. He'll come up with stuff, you know. And I mean that in a good way. He's a loving smart ass. We love it.
I'll give everybody a Nemo tattoo.
Yeah, but here's Nemo blubbing around, water's flowing through his gills. He's surrounded by it, asking where the hell the water is. That's what this is. If you, I can control the ocean. I decide when the ocean's real and when it's not, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And while he's focused on that, he doesn't know he's swimming in it. This is exactly what we're talking about. Here he is, a fish in the ocean, and doesn't know he's in the ocean. Looking for it. Yeah. Trying to find it. Because what? There's one more choice he's got to make. There's one more thing he doesn't have. Just like Nancy was telling us about the carrot. Reality can't be found. That was Nemo trying to find reality, and he's swimming in it. It will never be found because reality is all there is, all the time. There's nothing but love. There's only love. Liberation is the reality that nothing needs to happen. True liberation is the reality that nothing needs to change. Nothing needs to happen. Because there is only love. There's nothing but love. And you can't do anything about it. All the trying in the world won't change it. Nothing can. Huh? Hallelujah?
Yes.
Amen? Great. Thank you, everybody. We're so glad you've been with us so far. Thank you. Hello to everybody out there. Thank you so much for all your love.